it's tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, and because I know, yes, I is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. That's what gives reason for everything. Whatever we do, our work, our play, family, without Christ in it, it loses its purpose. It just kind of hollow. But when you have Christ, he's like, even in the hard times, there's still some. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's this. Press on, amen. Before I forget, I want to say this right now, so Fred, I was going to forget. I'm going to be in Ohio this week, I'm flying out this evening. Won't be back till Friday, so Thursday service is canceled. So don't show up, you're probably by yourself. And you think the rapture went without you and you get all tore up. You know you won't, but Thursday is no service, okay? Let's just stand. Go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we can come here again this morning. It's something we say all the time. We're so thankful, Lord, but it's the words we have, and it doesn't express it. But Lord, we can express it more if we will just surrender to you this morning and hear your voice and believe what you have to say, Lord, and help. Lord, we ask you to meet our needs, open our eyes, help us, Lord, just to press on, Father, to hear what you have to say, Lord, and let it have the effect that you want it to have. Bless the ones who aren't here this morning. Just strengthen them, Lord, that they'll press the battle. Heal those that are sick, Lord Jesus, feeling bad. Lord, if you come, Lord, this service will be a wonderful time. If you don't speak, it's just a waste of time, Lord. But we believe you will, because you promised to do that. You promised to be in our midst, Lord. Help us, Father. Yes, it's in your name. Amen. We're going to turn to Habakkuk, if you can find it in the Bible. It's a really small book there in the Old Testament, which I'm sure you know that. But I'm going to read one verse there, then be seated. I do have a lot of scriptures to read this morning. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. And it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." You may be seated. I just want to read that again. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." And so what we have, we're going to continue where we stopped Thursday night. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord and just still putting in a lot of foundation for where we're going with this, I believe. Excuse me. But what we find, Brother Branham says this, is when the prophet gives a prophecy, when he speaks something, and then when it doesn't happen right away, the people start having doubts. Well, maybe he didn't tell the truth. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe this, maybe that. And the further it goes without happening to come into pass, the more people just start falling away and they start making a tradition out of it. They start figuring it out for themselves. But it says, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. And we know that the day of the Lord, people have been talking about the day of the Lord since way back in Old Testament days. Thousands of years people have been talking about the day of the Lord. Thousands of years have been talking about the coming of the Lord. Thousands of years, these things are way in the future. And the timeline actually makes what Noah did look like nothing. It's only 120 years. Abraham only waited 25 years. The promise that we're waiting on has been going on for thousands of years. See what I'm saying? And that's why we see so much junk around the message, because it keeps tarrying. But he said, don't worry, it will come. and shall not tarry. Now, if you would turn to 2 Peter 3:3. Like I said, I have several verses, several scriptures I want to read. And we just want to talk about this tarrying this morning and the waiting for it to happen. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 says this. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, now what makes them scoffers and why do they walk after their own lusts? They say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And so they had come as believers. They were believers. They were maybe raised in the message, so to speak. But they look around and say, I've been hearing this rapture stuff my whole life, and I don't see anything. I don't see anything happening. So I don't know what you're talking about. And when you look at this, all the people have been saying the Lord's coming forever. Back in when we passed the year 1000, right? People say, well, when the year 1000 came along, it's got to be the coming of the Lord. And they all prepared for it. And time went on past there, and it didn't happen. We got to year 2000, and a lot of people said, it's got to come now. And here we are almost to 2020, getting there. And it didn't happen yet. Remember Y2K? Yeah. Nothing happened. These are just scarecrows the devil puts up and say, oh, everything, it's going to happen now. 1977, it was going to happen, right? Here we are, 40 years later, however long it is. We're still going on. And so what's happening? People are looking and says, nothing's changing. And you know who's the people who suffer the most? It's the young people. Because they're further and further removed from the prophet. And a lot of us older people, it was still a much bigger deal for us. But as you go on, that becomes more historical and more historical. All you got is, you got a tradition. You believe a prophet. It just becomes a tradition. Because that second generation, that third generation, they always get further and further. That's the way it has happened down through time. That first generation has a great move of God. By the second generation, they've already gone back and denominated. Boy, ain't that happened around the message. It says, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. Listen to that. They willingly are ignorant. They're doing it on purpose. They say, I'll be ignorant. I'll believe this other thing because I really want to begin with because my old nature wants the darkness. It thrives. It seeks darkness. And so instead of continuing to walk in light, they say, you know what? I'm just going to believe this other doctrine and say there is nothing to it to begin with. We can all be Christians. We don't have to be message believers. And they want it. Just like Eve, she lusted for knowledge. And she knew what was wrong, but because she wanted it, she just claimed ignorance. Well, I don't know if there's anything to it or not. Because she wanted it that way. So they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And so here it is. They are willingly ignorant that God speaks a word, he brings judgment, and even though if it doesn't happen right then, it will happen. That judgment is going to happen. This country, this world, but this country especially, has been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and judgment has been spoke against it. We're going to get more into this in a later service. But they want to look around and say, well, things are just fine. We're going fine. We've been hearing about judgment for years. We've been hearing about it since, clear back, Paul was speaking about it, and Peter was speaking about it. 2,000 years ago, they were talking about it. Here we go. We're just cruising along. And you can find all kinds of quotes. Brother Branham said, nothing, after every 2,000 years, something happened. He said, we're 17 years behind time. So it should have been about, 1983 or something. This all should have fell apart. And here it is, 2019. Well, he must have been wrong then. What is that? You find something that you want to justify it, and you willingly take that and ignore that it's still true. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word. What is the word? That judgment was coming by water. That same word. The heavens and earth now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire. against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So that same word that said a flood's coming, the same word now says fire is coming. And they're willingly ignorant and they refuse to walk in because they go scoff. So yeah, I've been hearing about that for a long time. People have been preaching that for years. Man. 2019 message, believers, huh? That's why you see the falling away. The falling away. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. To us, to God, is a blink. Let's look at this a little bit. Science tells us the universe was formed about 14 billion years ago. I believe it. This earth isn't, well, yeah. I'm not sure how old they say the earth is, but not quite that old. But it's several million years old, or billion years old. Mankind, history of mankind, science will tell you it's been about 10,000 years. Our Bible says it's closer to 6,000, right? When God started time in Eden. Compare 14 billion to 6,000. It's not a flash, it's not a nanosecond. It is so incredibly infinitesimally small. And then since Brother Branham came and preached, it's been 56 years or something, 53 years, something since he left. You know how short that is? It's nothing. But we look around and say, well, man's been here on earth for forever. This whole thing about save the planet. You know how long, short a time we've been on this planet? This planet's fine without us. Don't save the planet, save the people. And we're all going to leave because the promise says fire is in store for us. The same word that says water is in store, same word that says fire is in store. That's what we have to look forward to, friends. Now, if we want to make our kingdom here on this earth, go for it. But there is something called global warming. Not the way science says it. It's a nuclear fire. That's pretty hot. Amen. So, people say things are going on the way they were. What's the big deal? Let me go back and read something I read Thursday night. I just want to get on a little bit more. In Matthew 24:45, it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in his due season?" So, talking about the ministry, their job is to make sure that the people are fed with the meat in the season that they need it. That's a very important thing here. It's got to be meat for your season. If I get up here and I say, you know what? God sent a prophet. You know God sent a prophet. All right? Now, if someone's sitting here who doesn't have that revelation, maybe that needs to be preached to them so they get that revelation. But for most of us, that's already been done. And so for me to just get up here, I'm kind of wasting your time. Make sense? "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing, given the meat in due season. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming." What is it? He fell into the same trap Peter's talking about. Everything's the same as it was. Nothing is changing. I thought it was going to be 77, and then people said it was going to be 84, 86 or something. Then they said 96, and then they said 2000, and here we are just cruising on. "Delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken." Now, what's this talking about? Well, let's go back to Isaiah 56 and find out. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but I'm going to turn there and read for you. Isaiah 56 and verse 9, and it says this. "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest." So something's calling to a feast for the beasts, right? He says this. "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." So we're going to find out that the watchmen, the ministry he's talking about, are asleep. Paul said, be of the day, walk in the light. Those that sleep, sleep in the night. But we're not of the night, we're of the day, so walk in the light. But he said, our watchmen here are all sleeping. They're slumbering. They're dumb dogs. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. So what they have done, they don't understand. They don't have the revelation. They're not walking in the light. They're walking in dark. And they preach the message of the hour because they believe that it's true, and yet they're walking in darkness. Satan's ministers come as angels of light too, but they're not. Listen to what they say. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. See, tomorrow's going to be just like today. We're just going to keep going on. Why? Because the Lord delays us coming. So let's say let's get drunk. Now, he's not talking about natural wine here. He's talking about spiritual wine. Remember what Brother Branham said wine symbolizes? The stimulation of revelation. But these people are walking in darkness. They're not walking in the light. So what they have is they have a gift to preach. And they have a gift to go into the Word and see truth. And they can bring it. And all they can do, though, is educate the people with it. There's no revelation coming because you don't get higher than your pastor. And if he's walking in darkness, then they're walking in darkness. But yet they keep the people coming because he keeps scratching their ears and teaching them things they like to hear. And what it is, it's the same thing Eve had, which was a lust for knowledge. And because that's a human trait, and we all lust for knowledge to be smarter than the next guy, and we keep going to this church because this guy, he keeps teaching us things we didn't know before. We call that revelation. We call it being a message believer. And we all get drunk on this wine, on this stimulation. Well, we know this, and we know this, and we're smarter than you, and we look down. All you have to do is look at their attitude towards sinners. You can see if they're doing this or not. Because they look down on sinners and say, well, look at you. You're just an old denominational somebody or other. And all they are drunk on their own wine. And that's why he said, she'll begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. What's this smiting for? What do they do? Brother Branham talked about how a minister, they get so confident, they get such a kingdom to themselves, they feel they don't have to stick with the Word anymore. Now they can just do whatever they want. And they set up a kingdom to themselves, and the people are so attached to them or so under their thumb that the people will just let them get by with anything. And all you have to do is look around the message a little bit and you see this. Drive up to Jeffersonville and see how this hasn't happened, because people are so enthralled with one personality, they are willing to do anything he wants. He's changed the complete way they have church. He's changed the way they worship. He's changed everything, and the people just suck it up. And it makes them feel wonderful. It makes them feel religious. It makes them feel righteous because they're doing all this stuff and it's absolutely organized religion and they're absolutely drunk on this doctrine. And it's not the Word of God. It is not the light of the hour because it's against the Word. You don't have to just go to Jeffersonville. You can find a lot of places around the message. Ministers have set themselves up and they have two ways to go about it. Let's think about this. I think I can use this analogy. They either use force or they use flattery. And I teach a class at work about sex trafficking. I taught there's two different kinds of pimps. You know, pimps are the ones who control these kids they use to sell for sex. And you have guerrilla pimps, and guerrilla pimps use violence and force. They beat these kids to force them to comply. And we have some message believers and preachers do that. They hammer down on you until you comply because I'm the minister, you better do what I say. Then you have others which are called Romeo pimps. And Romeo pimps use flattery and they're nice to you. They make you think you love them. And so you do these things for them just because they love you and you want to keep this person happy through that. Both of them are just as disgusting. The Romeo pimp is more deceiving. And you can find this around the message where people, ministers will attach people to themselves through one of these two means. And sometimes they'll switch back and forth. And you know why people stay? Because they're so attached to that human being, that man. Maybe it's his name. Maybe because he's done something for him. Maybe he makes him feel obligated or for whatever the reason is. It's idolatry. And he begins to smite his fellow servants and keep them under his thumb. You do what I tell you to do attitude. He said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appointing him his portion with the hypocrites. Brother Branham said this. He said, if you are not seeing the results Jesus said you would see, you're not preaching the true gospel. It's just that simple. There's your test. If you don't see the results that you're supposed to see, then the preaching is wrong. And if that's what we're doing here, we need to flee, because we're fools to sit here if we don't see that. I have no problem. I'm going to stay here. I see it. But if you're not seeing it, and you don't think you've seen the right thing, and you sit here just because, why? What are you looking for? And that's why sometimes God does things and gives us testimonies, because I might be going through a time when I'm having a hard time and I'm not really seeing much Christ in me, so to speak, or I don't see much light or much advancement. But then all of a sudden, Paul jumps up with a testimony and he says something. I say, oh, yes, there is Christ right there. Or maybe I see it in Will, or maybe without even a testimony, I just see it in Brother Jamie or something. I say, yeah, Christ is still here. Maybe I don't see it in myself right away, right now, because of the desert I'm going through or whatever. But I see it in other people. That's why he gives us testimony. Why? Till we edify each other. So even though we're going through a hard time, I can see Christ in someone else. And sometimes they say something or they do something, and it's just the right thing. It's the right time. And I know that that was God doing that. Excuse me. It's very important, folks. Brother Branham said this: the gospel is the greatest attraction the world's ever had. He said it still is. He said, then why are so many people leaving the message? They don't see the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel is the word happening. It's the word for that. Let's go back 60 years and let's sit in a meeting with Brother Branham preaching. And he does the discernment. And we're sitting there and you say, well, do you want to go to church tomorrow night? He's having another meeting. No, I think I'll stay home. After seeing the manifestation like that, I don't think you would. People drove from all over the country to see it. So why do we have trouble getting into church now? Something's wrong somewhere, folks. What are we looking for? What are we looking for? So, back in Ezekiel 12, we're going to read several verses here, 12:21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? What's he saying here? The Lord delays his coming. We've heard this. The days are prolonged. You know, we've been hearing about the coming of the Lord. We've been hearing about all this stuff, and nothing's happening. Said, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. He prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And so here back in the time of Ezekiel, human beings were still being human beings. They were hearing the word, the prophet. They knew it was a prophet. They knew he was right, that he would speak. But because it wasn't happening, they were saying, well, it's probably for some time in the future. It won't happen in my generation. I'm going to eat and drink and be merry and live forever and die a good old age. And someone later on can worry about the coming of the Lord. Someone later on can worry about the rapture. I'm just going to be happy here and do what I want to do. However, I just said some of these prophecies we've been waiting for, thousands of years, right? But let's go into today now. If you want to turn to Revelation, you don't have to turn to Revelation. You know this without me even reading it to you. But Revelation 10, it says this. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the voice the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. We understand, brother and sister, that that happened while Brother Branham was on earth. That angel handed that book down to the prophet while he was here, when most of us weren't even born yet. Some of us were. I guess most of us were. We're all old in here. But some of us weren't born yet. That has happened. And he said, time no longer. Now, that word time is better translated as delay. Because he didn't say time no longer and like an axe came down and chopped off time and there's no more time. That's not what it was. What he was saying is from here on out, we're going to fulfill all the rest of the scripture to bring the coming of the Lord, to bring the day of the Lord. That's been 56 years ago when he preached the seals or something like that. And yet 56 isn't even that. It's nothing to it. It's time-wise. But for us, because we're such creatures of time, it seems like a long time. But it's not. He said, there will be no more delay. These things are going to wrap up. I'm going to wrap up everything, get done with the day of man, and go on into the day of the Lord, the seventh day. That's the day we're living in. And all you have to do is look around and you see all the scriptures that were prophesied, all the quotes that they said, they're all happening right around us. The flashing red lights are the sign of his coming. All these things, you look around and see everything happening just the way he said. Just the earthquake, the California earthquake. Back when he prophesied that, people thought he was crazy. Now the scientists tell you that's going to happen. It's not a secret anymore. They all know what's going to happen. And then in chapter 22, verse 10 in Revelation, he said, And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophet of this book, for the time is at hand. Now that was 2,000 years ago when he said it. He said the time is at hand. But recognize this, like I said Thursday, the book of Revelation was written for our day. And the time is at hand, and there shall be delay no more, and we're living in this time. And up here, back in Ezekiel, said, I will speak the word, and what I speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged, for in your day it's going to happen. And that is for us. Because even though it's prolonged, you say, well, that's thousands of years ago Ezekiel said that. But brother and sister, at the right time, these things are going to happen. And that's why he said back in Habakkuk, he says, wait for it. Because it surely will come. And that's all he's saying now is, can you wait? In patience possess you your souls. Just keep pressing on. Now is the time not to fall away, friends. Now is the time not to get discouraged. This is the time to be holding on. You're at the very end. I don't know if I have these numbers right or not, but I was listening to some blog or something on YouTube, and it was talking about people who are hiking. This one guy who was hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, which is like 2,600 miles or something. He got up to like within 100 miles of finishing, and he quit. Don't do that. How do you know if it's next week or tomorrow or a month from now? What if it's 2 years from now? You know how short 2 years is? Because we're talking about all this time, all the way back from Eden, all the way time, and thousands of people and millions of people going, and all this stuff. But here at the very end, you got 2 years. Well, you got 6 months. How do you know how much longer you have personally? I don't get discouraged now. Brother Bram's talking about this. He said it was to be the seventh angel's message that was to reveal the seven seals. And he saw this angel come down, put his foot on the land and on the sea, had a rainbow over his head. Here he come, put one foot on the land, one upon the water, raised up his hand. He had a rainbow over his head. That was a covenant. He was a covenant angel, which was Christ, made a little lower than the angels that suffered. There he comes. He puts his hand up to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever that time shall be no more when this takes place. It's run out. It's done. It's finished. And then the scripture says, and at the message of the seventh earthly angel, the messenger on earth, the seventh and last church age, at the beginning of his mystery, when he starts off into the earth, at that time, the mystery of God of these seven seals should be made known by that time. Now we see where we're at. Could it be, friends? Could it be? Notice, all possible. All that had been redeemed in the book, he came forth for the redemption. All that was to redeemed was in the book. predestinated before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem them. All he had redeemed was written therein. So he came down and he was the angel of the covenant. He gave that book down, what, to the prophet, because it was time to redeem all the people in the book. And that's what is happening now, brother and sister. And notice he said at the beginning of his message. Now, when we look at Brother Branham's life, the seals were opened at the end of his message, at the end of his ministry, because he only had 3 more years. He preached for a long time, from the 40s or 50s, whenever, up to then. But then from then, since 63 to 65, it was only 3 years that he was preaching before he left. He said, well, that doesn't seem right. Brother and sister, it says when, well, let me just find it to make sure I got the words right. He said, when he starts off into the earth at that time, the mystery of God, these 7 seals should be made known for that time. Brother and sister, Brother Branham left, but his ministry is still going through the earth. It's still going out. And just because a man is left, that ministry, that message is still here and is still going forth and bringing forth what it was brought for. See what I'm saying? Don't worry about if the man left or not. It's the ministry but the message is still here. It's still accomplishing what it was sent to do. And we're the ones who are supposed to be the benefactories of this. We're the ones who are the manifestation of the message. So do we see that? Or do we get discouraged and say, well, Brother Branham left so long ago, he said all these things, I don't know, we got a good church to go through, to go to where everything's just fine. Why do so many people just get discouraged and they sit in the church pews? Because they're sitting in darkness, folks. They're sitting in darkness. Why does someone like, I'm going to call a name, why does someone like Jeff Jenkins, after years and years of being a message pastor, why does he just leave? He wasn't walking in light. Impossible, because if you're walking in light, you're not getting bored. You're not getting discouraged. You're not having trouble. Oh, you might have a hard time getting to church because your old flesh don't want to go, but something inside, oh yeah, I'm going to church. Why? Because I know that that's where I see Christ the most. That's where Christ speaks to me the most. That's where I know God gives me strength. That's where I get edified and edify my brother and sister. And I love the community, the fellowship and the love and the spirit that's there. And I want to see more Christ. There's something inside that draws you there. And Satan's there trying to keep you away and trying to keep you away. You say, no, I'm going to go to church. Because it ain't boring to me. Sometimes it ain't very much fun, but it ain't boring. Because it's reality. It's happening. This rapture is happening. The things that Brother Branham said are happening. But if all you see is some doctrine you're believing and some rules you're following, you're bored. You get bored after a while. I said, what's the point? I'm living a good life. I believe the doctrine. I believe everything the preacher says. I'm good to go. That ain't it. That ain't it, friends. So we got to wait. This word is happening. He says this, Noah waited 120 years. Abraham waited 25 years. God said so, that settled it. The word was there being watered by faith, believing it. It brought forth the results. It brought forth the sun. It brought forth the rain. It brought forth the flood. It brought forth the virgin that was conceived. A prophet said, a virgin shall conceive, no doubt, but every little young girl went and got her baby clothes ready. Well, this prophet Isaiah was identified prophet, vindicated of God. And the Lord said, a virgin shall conceive. I'm going to give them a supernatural sign. All them people, them believers, just like you all, when they heard that, every man said, that's going to be my daughter. Yes, sir. Everybody went and bought the booties and bird eye and everything else getting ready because they know she was going to have it. But that generation passed. And they thought that identified prophet, vindicated of God, how could he tell anything was wrong? It must be so. It was 800 years later, but she brought forth the baby. The believers keep believing. That's what makes the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, is because the believers keep believing when everything says it's not going to happen. All the evidence mounts up and says it's not going to happen. All these well-known people are leaving the message saying there's nothing to it. But you look and they say, yes, there is something to it. Why? Because the quote? No, because the quote is living in you. Because it's come off the page and it's become something that's alive in you. It's something that boils up inside of you. It's something that you can't get away from if you wanted to, because you're not just worried about some doctrine or worried about how good you're living. You know there's something inside of you that just won't let you go. And God takes that and he takes you one step further and you start getting discouraged and all of a sudden you see a little bit more light and so you step into that and then you get a little like, well, I don't know what's going on. Oh, there's a little more light and then you see some over there and you just kept walking in the light as he is in the light. That's what it means to be a Christian. I couldn't care less how well you live. Get right with Christ and it'll take care of all that. There's something inside you that takes away the desire. And you're still tempted, but something overcomes that. He said, well, I'm still struggling with this. I'm still struggling with that. Just keep walking. You will come to a place where you will put your foot on that thing and say, that will not rule over me anymore. We get discouraged. We start looking at our flesh. We start looking at the people around us. We start looking at you know, Brother Paul, you know what? He's such a hypocrite. My goodness sakes. Can't hardly stand it when he sits here in church because I know he's a hypocrite. Well, I don't believe that at all. But even if he was, what does that have to do with my soul? Am I going to let his hypocrisy keep me out of the rapture? If I do, then I'm worshiping him more than I'm worshiping Jesus Christ. He has more control over me than Jesus Christ does. We don't have a perfect church, but brother and sister, we have Christ. That's what we need to do. Keep our eyes on the target. Keep our eyes on where we're headed for. God will take care of everything else. If you don't, you're going to get discouraged. You want to look around at the faults we have in this church? Should I start going through them? My goodness, we'd all be ready to kill ourselves by the time I was done. That ain't what we're looking at, friends. We're looking at what God is doing, what he has promised, what he has already done, what he's doing now, and what we're going to get to. Talking about Abraham, he said, oh, if we had some men tonight that could have the faith of Abraham. And you are Abraham's seed. When you're dead in Christ, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which makes you Abraham's seed and gives you the same faith that Abraham had. That calls those things which are not as though they were, no matter how you look, what you feel like, it's what God said about it. Doesn't matter how old we get, how decrepit we look, how this problem is going on, we have a problem over here. What did God say about it? The question we have to ask ourselves is God running this church or is man? And if man's running this church and you're going here, why? Why? Find some place where God's in control. That's what we need, friends. That's what we need. And if God's control your life, let him control your life. You know, it takes some time. It takes a lot of humility sometimes. That's what it takes for us. Just humble yourself. Excuse me. Let me read some more things Brother Branham said. Is that all right? As it was in the days of Noah, how many people laughed at him, made fun of him? They come up there just to hear, say, well, go up there and hear that old crank pop off again just to have some fun. Get up, walk away, wouldn't even listen to him preach. All kinds of things. They perished in the judgments he was preaching. Amos, that little preacher, knowing from nowhere, a prophet anointed, come up and look down in Samaria that time, his bald head shining, his gray beard. When he come up across the hill, look down, them holy eyes of his narrowed as he looked down that city. Not like tourists that come from all over the world because our priests, all of them had sinned. False prophets was telling them it was all right. He walked down there with no cooperation for his revival. He walked down there without anything and screamed out. He said, the very God that you claim to serve will destroy you. And I say, thus saith the Lord, the God that America claims to serve will destroy her. You take that for whatever you wish. What he said is down to the altar, Isaiah. The very God that America claims to serve is the one that's destroying her. Why? Because she rejected him years ago. And yet you see so many people and good people and they believe in and they keep saying, you know, America needs to turn back to God. We need a nationwide repentance. They're right. We do. But it's too late. We've already passed it. We passed the day of grace. We are, as a country, we're in judgment. That doesn't mean people can't be saved. You absolutely can still be saved. And I was listening to Brother Branham a little while ago. He said, people say mercy is over. He said, don't you never say that. Well, I could preach on that for a while. You know what people are doing? These blinded preachers, these dogs who can't bark, they love to slumber. They're getting people to church, and they're getting people to repentance, and they're literally feeding the beast system because they're getting them into the beast. They're preaching. They're being gathered together for the burning, and they're coming to churches, and they're coming to all these denominations, and people are being so sincere, and they're doing so much to help the Lord and what they think is helping God, and they're actually just strengthening the Antichrist system here in this country. Isn't that sad? It was like when they rejected Christ back in the day, and Rome come up in AD 70 or something to destroy Jerusalem. And what did all they do? They ran into the church, into the city, and they closed the doors. They said, "We're the God's holy people. We're in Jerusalem. He's going to protect us here," not knowing that they had already been doomed. They're being gathered together to be destroyed. The believers had all gone. They're outside of the city. But the rest of them ran into their church to be saved. And when people have a denominational attitude towards this message, they're being gathered together into churches to be bound. There's a binding, and their confidence is in the church. Their confidence is in their pastor. Their confidence is in this brother or this sister or whatever. Their confidence in how well they're living. Their confidence is in something else besides Christ. Christ alone will take you in the rapture. Ain't nobody else. Your mom or dad, your pastor or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. No one's going to take you there. It's you and Christ alone. So make sure we don't have any idols in our minds. Well, this is brother so-and-so. I put him up here, and this brother so-and-so, and his last name is this and whatever. All those things, get rid of them now, brother and sister, because if you don't and you're one of his, God will get rid of that for you. And the believer's already gone. You know, we've spoken many times here, heard of many preachers. You know what? Day after rapture, you know where it's going to be the most popular place around the message? Churches. That next Sunday, you think the church ain't going to be full? Looks a lot like tribulation around here. I need to get to church and get right. You know whose phone is going to be ringing off the hook? I guess they don't ring off the hook anymore. We don't have hooks. Your pastor. Brother Jerry won't answer me. Brother Jerry won't ask me. Well, let me call Brother Phil. Well, he won't ask you. Let me call Brother Jim. He won't ask. Well, who can I call? Let's go to church. You look, get up to church and you look around at the other people there, and you got these big old eyes glaring at each other like, what happened? Where's everybody at? Because willingly ignorant, I can just walk in this peaceful life, happy, have a good time, and be willingly ignorant that this judgment has already struck this nation. What a horrible time that will be. He said, man, who can look upon the church the way it's going today and people the way they're going and predict blessing in the future? I predict judgment, and that only. The just God requires judgment for ignoring his word. He's just coming and identify it before us and make it right. I'm sorry, he's just to come and identify it before us and make it right. But a just God through all ages, he can't change his plans. He never changes his plans. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. His ways are the same. His word is the same. He is the same. He's full of mercy when someone's ready to repent. But judgment will follow if you don't. It's happening, friends. We are in the midst of it. The prophets, the sages, the believers, all the way down through time, if they could have lived in any time, they would want to live now. Brother Branham would have loved to live in this day, as far as 2019, to see God finish this thing up, wind it up. He said, well, you don't know that, Brother Phil. You don't know. It could go 10 more years. It could go 100 more years. I don't care. It's still going to happen. And all I want to do is make sure that I'm ready. So if I'm around when it happens, that I'm ready for it. And if I die, go by the grave. If I'm ready when I go by the grave, I'm going to come up before the rest of you. That's what matters, folks. Don't get discouraged just because things tarry. And why I haven't seen this happen. And church just kind of gets boring. And church, Friends, what you have to do is find the light. Get to the light, and it's not boring anymore. That's what's the problem. We got so many people, they just, well, I'm going to be a good message. Believe I was raised to believe the message, but they never found Christ. Oh, he's there for you. There is still time. That door of mercy might be slamming shut, but there's a sliver of light at least. Slide in underneath that thing. You know how I know it's there? Because he's putting it on my heart to tell you it's there. He ain't going to lie to you. My dad used to tell me, well, Brother Brand had to say some things just to deceive people. You know how people are deceived? By the truth, not by a lie. The truth deceives them because they're willingly ignorant because they don't want it to be the truth. Because they had some preacher preach something to them that scratched their ear and say, yeah, but you're really spiritual. Ooh, yes, I am. You can do what you want. Yes, I can. You know more than those people. Yes, I do. Oh, that feels good. Dumb dogs. Let's get drunk on this revelation I have. One more quote here. Brother Branham said, the coming of the prophet is a warning sign of judgment at hand. Did you know that? Judgment is ready to strike. If there is a prophet in the land, remember, he certainly first got to be vindicated by God and the word of that hour. Can we just, oh, this is going to take me longer than I thought. I'm going to be quick. Got a little time. He said, that prophet has first got to be vindicated by God. God proves he's a prophet and the word for that day. You know what that means? If I come up here and I start prophesying things and it comes to pass, if it's not according to the word for the day, I'm still false. God has to prove it, and he's got to prove it by be proved by the word for the day. If I come and say, you know what? I prophesy something and it's true and it comes to pass, and people say, well, Brother Phil's a prophet. And then I turn around and I say, and by the way, that rapture is passed already. It's not going to happen. There's not actually going to be a rapture. Or I tell some cockamamie, something like that. You know I'm wrong because I'm not saying what the prophet before me said. And if another person comes along and starts saying something that the prophet before him didn't say, I'm trying to be nice here. He's a false prophet. I don't care what people say about him. I don't care how much he prophesies. I don't care how many signs and wonders he has following him. If he doesn't say what the prophet before him said, he's false. As nice as I could get. And then he does a sign. Then watch that sign, what he predicts. He said, if it comes to pass, then hear him. If it doesn't come to pass, forget it. It's got to be a scriptural sign that he gives. Noah, a prophet in the land, a sign of the coming and judgment. Moses, a prophet in the land, the sign of a coming judgment. Elijah, prophet in the land, sign of a coming judgment. John, a prophet in the land, sign of coming judgment to Israel. They were absolutely cut off. And William Branham, a prophet in the land, a sign of coming judgment to this world. Oh, is that happy? It was 50-some years ago, Brother Phil. 50 years and nothing doesn't mean anything, folks. Just eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow you're going to die. What does a sign do? The sign is to attract the attention. The sign attracts the attention. Why? To get the elected ready and out of the way before judgment strikes. That's what Noah did, got the elected ready, the rest of them. What does it do? The sign and the voice of the sign condemns the unbeliever and gets him ready for judgment. Because the unbeliever rejects it and goes off into darkness and judgment, the believer accepts it and walks in light and gets out of there. That's what it's all for. It gets the elected ready for the escape. That's what the sign is. That's what the sign was for the coming judgment. It's so simple, friends. We can see that the prophet came. We can see what he spoke against America, against the world. We can see what we're supposed to be doing. He gave us a way to escape the judgment. But it's not the way people want. It's not Christianity that people want. And so they reject it willingly because I just rather sit in a more comfortable church. I'd rather have a more comfortable religion. I'd rather have a more lukewarm, just relaxed because I'm rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I'm a message believer. And that's where we're sitting. He said, let's look at the vision we have today. What's your vision for today, brother and sister? What do you see? He says, is it building churches? Is it new things? Is it great things that's going to happen? Or is it judgment? Look back and see the promise of today and see what season we're living in. You say, well, bless God, brother, I'm sincere. I joined church. I got my Bachelor of Art. I done this. He said, that's all right. That's fine. Nothing against it. But so had David. So had the priest of that day. So had the theologians. But it was contrary to the word. This is the most deceptive age, and Satan will give you all kinds of evidence and all kinds of things, all kinds of religion, all kinds of doctrines, anything you want to keep you away from the light, to keep you from humbling yourself and walking in the light. But he came to redeem those whose names are on that book, and he will not lose a single one. And if you recognize that he's doing this in your life, recognize who you are, and don't let anything get in your way. Amen? Let's stand.